Welcome to Family Talk with host, psychologist, and author Dr. James Dobson, or as my son Lincoln likes to call him, Jimpa. I'm Ryan Dobson here with Luann Crane. And yesterday on this broadcast, we heard from a father whose heart was breaking. Mm-hmm. It just ached over his teenage daughter's struggle with cancer.
Well, Ryan and Dr. Dobson, all three of us sitting here at these microphones are parents, and we're talking to a lot of parents who mm-hmm. could so deeply identify with that gentleman's hurt and his questions of mm-hmm. God. I mean, it's one of those things in life that is so difficult to comprehend. Why would God allow a 16-year-old girl to lose her leg? Mm. And yet it just clearly reminds all of us to fall on our faces before an almighty God. And doctor, as you said last time, trust him even in the midst of the fog.
Even when you can't track him. Mm-hmm. And there are moments like that for all of us. We talked about that whole phenomenon of the moments when God doesn't make sense to us. Mm. I wrote a book on the subject, When God Doesn't Make Sense, because I've seen so many people, many of them in a hospital setting, who have had to deal with things where the pieces didn't fit, where there was confusion. Where is God? Why did he allow this? And Dr. Conway, in one of the most powerful programs we have aired, spoke about going through that experience when his daughter, Becky, who was 15 when she was diagnosed with cancer, and shortly thereafter she lost her leg. And again, we heard of the agonies of this man trying to make sense out of all this. Dr. Conway later lost his wife to breast cancer. So he's been to the valley, and he talked through his emotions and his theological struggles with what was going on. Now, today, we're going to hear the other side of the coin. We're going to hear from Becky, mm-hmm. who has five children now, but she spoke about this experience during her teen years. And Becky is not so somber about it. Mm-hmm. In fact, she has a wonderful sense of humor. People are going to really find this broadcast wonderfully inspirational.
Well, Becky's survivor spirit continues to this day. She is still speaking and sharing her story with others, and believe it or not, is a nationally certified handicap ski instructor. Mm-hmm. That is my kind of person, and we appreciate that so much here in Colorado. She's married to Robert and continues to live life to the fullest each and every day. So let's dive in here on this Family Talk broadcast and hear from Becky Walters as she shares personally about some of her difficulties living life as an amputee.
Now, the voice we're about to hear occurred when she was in her teens. She now has five, count them, five mm-hmm. children, as I said a minute ago. So life was really just getting started for her when she spoke these words.
Usually, when I'm not having a broken foot, usually I have an artificial leg that I wear, and his name's Harvey. He's being resurfaced right now. I was working 40 hours a week out on the beach, and he had just nicks and scrapes and bumps, so he's getting new skin this week. So he's getting redone and an overhaul, I guess you'd call it, while I'm laid up. This has been a really fun week for me. It's been very different, because every time I've been up at Forest Home, usually I'm getting to go around and scare my mom half to death by jumping off of cliffs and things. So it's been different because I've been slowed down a little, but it's been fun because I've gotten to see a lot about what it really feels like to be in a wheelchair. And I've been so used to having just one leg and having people deal with me in that way and having kids stare and go, "Mommy, she's broke her leg off," you know, or, you know, things that kids say. Brenda, it was so cute because she's been reminding me of things that kids said that I wasn't paying attention to. And she goes, "Do you remember the time the little kid in the store said, 'Looks like she didn't drink her milk,'" you know? So the things you say to your kids, they remember. You know, you have to drink your milk to grow big and strong. I had the same similar comment from a little guy about 3 years old. I was jogging in an indoor track in Urbana, and I was going around, and every time I'd go by, he'd, you know, just watch me, and then, you know, I'd come back by, and sometimes he'd run a little bit with me and watch me. And finally, when I stopped, he, you know, came up and asked the usual questions about, you know, where my leg went and why, you know, was it folded up anywhere? A lot of little kids like to look underneath my stump to see if there's something, you know, rolled up or my foot's there still or something. And he was eating an apple at the time, and he said, what happened? And I said, my leg got sick, and the doctor had to cut it off. And he said, well, that'll never happen to me, because I eat fruit. And he held this apple out, you know, and he was all proud, because his mom had told him, you know, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, right? Well, and he goes, well, do you eat fruit? And I said, well, I do now. And so, so sometimes I play along with them, and there's one time in particular, a little guy, probably about four, we were at a roller skating rink, and I was skating around, and I had stopped along the edge to wait, and I don't use my artificial leg when I skate. And the little guy was skating up, and he was pretty cool, you know, he was one of those kids, you know, that just skates around real fast and knocks everybody else around over and makes adults feel like they're really stupid because they can't skate as good as he can. Well, he felt he was pretty cool, and he was leaning there and, you know, looking around, and looks over and like, you know, and he goes, you don't have a leg. And I go, oh no, where'd it go? And it was really funny because all of a sudden his cool image just went, you know, and his eyes got about this big and he just starts looking around expecting to see like a leg go skating by or something. You know? And he was just like, you know, I go, my mom is gonna kill me. I'm always losing things. You know, and then he didn't know what to say, you know. Anyway, well, I could, like I said, I could tell stories for all morning and keep you entertained, but I'd really like to share some of the things that God has taught me through this whole experience, because that's where I feel the joy comes from, is knowing that there's a reason for it happening, and that's why I'm able to laugh about it and stuff, is because I have definitely seen God's hand at work, and it's not just been something that I'm not just using my humor as a coping method, you know, like, haha, just pretend it doesn't hurt and it'll all go away. Because I really have had a real genuine peace about it, and that's come from the Lord. Just to give you a little bit of history on my own spiritual background, as you both know, my parents, I was raised in a Christian home, which was very, very good. And because of their believing in people and believing in kids, I came to know the Lord when I was 4 years old. So that as I grew up, physically and emotionally and socially and academically and every other area of my life got bigger and bigger and more complex, Jesus Christ really became more and more complex and a bigger part of my life, so that the commitment grew the older I got. So because of this, I really feel like Jesus Christ was the center of my life by the time I was 16. Jesus Christ was really the middle of my life. And sometimes I compare my life to a tree, because Jesus Christ was the trunk of my life. He wasn't just one of the branches, like it's easy to have him be, just to be part of our life, but he was really the very substance. And every other area of our lives be branches from that main trunk. So that everything revolves around the trunk, and everything gets its nourishment from the trunk, and the trunk has input into all those areas. So because of that relationship, and because I was really striving to keep Christ in the middle, when my leg was cut off, it was, instead of it totally ruining my life and devastating it, it was just part of my tree was cut off. In a sense, part of my limb was pruned. A little pun there. Okay. Just making sure you guys aren't falling asleep. But see, so many of my friends around me were amazed because they couldn't see how a person who was an athlete and who was very much an outdoor person, how they could have something that seemed so important be taken away and still be able to not have their life fall apart. People, my non-Christian friends and even friends that were religious could not understand that. They couldn't see themselves reacting that same way. And so I can't take any of the credit myself. I can't go, yeah, I'm so strong, I'm so great, you know, because I reacted so well in the situation. But it was really the position that Jesus Christ had in my life. And that's what I really has been so neat for me, is because I've seen that even though I wouldn't go around recommending people get their legs cut off so that they can grow spiritually. I mean, it's not maybe the most desired method. It's been something that God has used. I don't feel like God caused it, like he said, aha, you've been a bad little girl, I'm going to come in and chop your leg off. Because I think if God operated in that manner, we'd all be kind of little heads, and that'd be about it, you know. So, you know. But I do believe that God allows certain things that are very natural things. You know, undoubtedly I would have gotten cancer, Christian or not. You know, and I believe that God allows things to happen to us in order to make us into the people we should be. So, all this has brought me to a point where God continually reminds me of some things, but yet some very, very important things that we all need to be reminded of in our Christian walk. And there are three ones that I am continually brought to mind about, and I think even more so than some of you, because it's easy to, when you're healthy, when you're strong, it's easy to forget things like this. I think one big one is accidents or sickness or weaknesses or bad times or struggles remind us, number one, of our temporariness physically. They remind us that our bodies are not going to last. In a sense, the minute we are born, we begin to die. And that's very hard for me to realize, because especially looking at my little nephew who's so cute and everything, in a sense, he's on his way to death right now. The minute he's born, he even though he's still growing, his little cells are dying, his little brain cells are dying. You know, it's really kind of morbid to think about, but it's true. You know, it's like somehow we think we don't start to die till we're 45, but really we are, sorry. I'm gonna have a special session later about you and your father's midlife crisis. It's the next book in the series to come out. No. No, but it's something that we don't like to think about. And that's why it seems so almost funny is that, you know, we're, you know, all dying at this very moment. I think the next thing, at least it does for me, whenever I get another accident or whenever I have a real frustrating time with my leg, I really don't get frustrated very often. It brings back to mind another thing is it really humbles me. Sometimes I think I'm so self-sufficient and I can just, boy, I can overcome everything. And I believe that verse that I can do all things. And I forget about the rest sometimes because I think I'm so gung-ho and strong. And God kind of goes, oh, you can do all things, huh? Well, oh, really? You know, and sometimes I think we puff ourselves up and think we're, you know, all conquering. I want to share a couple of scriptures that have meant a tremendous amount to me. And they're both in 2 Corinthians because Paul addresses this issue a couple different times. The first one is 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 12. And he's talking about how the things that God has given them, and it says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show us this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. It makes us finish the rest of it, the verse that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, not just that I can do all things. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. I feel like I'm struck down, but not destroyed right now. The stronger we are, the more sufficient we think we are, the less we need God and the less we go to Him and the less who He is shines out from us. And I know that really continually humbles me because I am called to realize that I am weak and unable to, you know, to be all that Christ can be in me. The third one is I really believe it recenters us on what our real heritage is, that we're not made for this world, and our bodies are not made to last forever in this world, but that our true heritage is in heaven. And then one last verse that has just meant a tremendous amount to me, and is in 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary struggles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. What is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. There's a quote that I really like from Phil Yancey on a book he wrote called Where is God When It Hurts? And he is actually quoting another man's quote. And a pastor in a church was asked by an elder woman, probably going through midlife crisis. No, she was older than that. She said to him, she said, you know, pastor, why do we have to go through this aging process? Why do we have to go through having our teeth fall out, our hair turn gray and fall out? Why do we have to have all these yucky things happen? Why couldn't we just live for X number of years and then just die? And I think the answer he gave this older woman was really neat, and it's something that is applicable for all of us. It says, God has planned the strength and beauty of youth to be physical, but the strength and beauty of age is spiritual. We gradually lose that which is temporary, so we'll be sure to concentrate on that which is eternal and be truly homesick for our eternal homes. You know, if our bodies were always healthy, and if we never got sick, and if we never got old, we wouldn't even look forward to heaven. It would just be like, you know, no big deal. What about having a perfect body in heaven? I've got a perfect body now. So for me, heaven is really exciting because it makes me realize that I'm going to have perfection later. I may not have perfection now. I may be, you know, only part of me is here, or I may always have broken bones or whatever. But it makes putting up with imperfection now easier when I know that I'm going to have perfection later. So these three things that I've been talking about, the temporariness, the way that it humbles us, and it reminding us of our true heritage, calls me to do two things. And I'd like to challenge you with these two things this morning. The first one is it challenges me to use every opportunity I have to serve Christ. when we think we have all the time in the world and we think that we're going to live for another 20 or 30 years, it's very easy to waste time. It's very easy to not take advantage of all the opportunities we can. You know, in Ephesians 4, it talks about make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. It's so easy for us to get into the old, you know, get into being busy or get into doing a lot of little things that consume our minds, and we forget the real reason why God has allowed us to stay here. And number two, I really feel like it's something, like I said before, that it gives us excitement to look towards heaven, which gives us strength now. Knowing that we have what's coming later gives us strength for today. Somebody who's meant very much to me in my life, her name's Lori Segrist. She was a girl that I met a few months before I had my leg cut off and probably has made the most profound impact on me as one single person could by her attitudes. She had just been told right after I met her that she had terminal cancer. Lori was 18 at the time. And she and I stayed up till 2 and 3 in the morning sometimes talking about death and about life and about sickness. And she and I spent a lot of time after I had my leg off. And she felt sorry for me because I had to stay here and live in the world and still keep struggling. And I felt sorry for her because she had to die. But, you know, and we both felt like we were the one that was in the luckier position. But I remember things that she said, and one thing that really struck me, she said, you know, Becky, everybody feels so sorry for me because I've had this word terminal kind of punched onto my life. You know, all my records in the hospital say terminal, you know, and everybody kind of, you know, ooh, she's terminal, you know, when they talk to her and all this kind of stuff. And there's kind of like this little mystical, she's going to die soon. And she said, you know, I really feel sorry for everybody else because I've realized I'm terminal, and nobody else has. And she said, I realize I'm going to die soon, and I'm using every single day to serve God and to serve the people around me and to love the people around me and to love God to my fullest. And she says, probably, you know, there's some of these people around me that are going to die before me. They're going to have an accident or something, and they're just wasting their time. And I, you know, she died last November, and those words will always haunt me because I look around and I you know, I guess I'd like to challenge you this morning to let your weaknesses and your sicknesses and the things that pull us down and make us feel like we're not on top of life and everything else. I'd really challenge you guys to let those things remind you of who we really are and what we're really called to do. Because I think only in those times do we take enough time out of our busy schedule to reflect on what we're supposed to be doing here. And so that's something that I know will be a continuing reminder to me, and I really hope will be for you too.
Some poignant words with which to end this Family Talk broadcast from a delightful young woman, Becky Walters, who is now a grown mother of five herself. She went through so much, Dr. and Ryan, and for me, it's just inspirational to see what she's been through and yet discover how she handled it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've written a lot about the teen experience, about adolescence and all the difficulties that young people go through with the hormonal changes and the social pressures and everything else. What maturity we just heard from this teenager for whom life had produced a devastating turn of events, and yet she chose to deal with it with humor.
Yeah.
You know, she could have blamed God. You know how teenagers tend to get morose over things that are less than perfect, and she could have fallen into self-pity and despair, but she gave her circumstances to the Lord and went on with her life. You know, and as we've said two or three times now, the Lord has given her five children. And Dr. Conway, her father, who himself was going through despair during that era when Becky lost her leg, now has five grandkids from Becky and Robert, and a total of 12 from his other children. So God has blessed this family despite the moments when God didn't make sense.
Dad, I can't help but think of someone listening right now going through a devastating time, and they're surrounded by darkness, and they just can't find their way. It's so difficult to get out of that. And you've written a book specifically on this topic. Can you talk to that person right now?
Well, I would like to, Ryan, because I don't want to make the mistake of making light of the struggles that people are going through. Mm-hmm. And not everyone has the temperament to do what Becky did, to laugh about it and just to go on and to let the Lord worry about the details. And there are also events that occur in life that are even more devastating.
Yeah.
You know, the longer I live, the more I'm aware of what it must be like to love someone with all your heart for about 40 or 50 years and to then lose them. And you're alone, and all those memories are gone. And you may have prayed in agony for that spouse during the last year or two of his or her life. You know, circumstances can be devastating.
And that's right.
That's why I wrote the book, mm-hmm. When God Doesn't Make Sense, because I dealt with and saw so many people who were experiencing trials that they could not explain from a theological point of view. Where is God when bad things happen to good people?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was trying to say. And there are people sitting out there today listening to us on the radio. Some of them are in the car. Some of them are crying, and they need a resource. And frankly, I think When God Doesn't Make Sense is one of the best books that I've written. I told yesterday about the fact that I agonized as I was writing this book, that I would get it right, that I wouldn't make a mistake. Mm. And the Lord helped me write that book. And I think it may be useful to other people as well.
You know, Dad, I know there are hundreds of thousands of people in the midst of a crisis right now. And those are the people in Japan. And I just wonder how dark it is, how despairing it is, deflating to look around and just see devastation everywhere you look and you can't get out.
And you know what? It's not over for them because they've got those nuclear facilities in some degree of meltdown, and yet there are nearly 30,000 people that they think now may have died already. So we do need to be in prayer for them and that God would minister to them. Many of them are not Christians. It's not basically a Christian nation, and yet He is there, and we do need to hold them up in prayer.
Dad, we are speaking about your book, When God Doesn't Make Sense. And on our website right now at myfamilytalk.com is a four-part series pulled from your book designed to help people immediately. If someone listening right now is in despair and they want a resource, it's here available complimentary at myfamilytalk.com.
And of course, at that same website, you can request a copy of the entire book, When God Doesn't Make Sense, myfamilytalk.com, or give us a call, 877-732-6825. One more time, 877-732-6825. When you go online, you will see an opportunity for you to make a donation to cover the cost of that book.
Luann, you're the clock watcher around here. Do we have one more minute?
I'll give you 90 seconds.
I just want to share with our listeners again what we said last time. I'm always aware that people can't listen every day. I want to make sure that they know that a generous donor has given us a $500,000 grant as a matching fund for those who make a contribution to this ministry between now and April 30. And I assume that if the money does not come in for the match, then I don't know what happens to the $500,000. But this man believes in this ministry and is determined to see that its needs are met. It costs $500,000 per month to operate this ministry. When you're on a lot of radio stations, there are unbelievable expenses associated with it. And so we've made it known that we do have needs.
Yes.
And this donor said, I think the Lord would have me help with that. But there's a reciprocal.
Yes, sir.
There's somebody who's listening out there who might be able to give us a little gift or a bigger one. It doesn't matter. That's up to God.
And now is the time to do that, Doctor. As you mentioned, any gift that our listeners are able to give will be doubled for the next few weeks. So we would encourage you to consider partnering with us to continue getting this message of hope out to families. Again, 877-732-6825. Or let me give the mailing address for those of you who are able to write and perhaps just tuck a check in the mail. It's Family Talk, 540 Elkton Drive, that's spelled E-L-K-T-O-N, Drive, Suite 201, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80907. Thank you in advance, and we certainly look forward to hearing from you. We'll see you next time.